Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. If you haven't heard, you can book your 60-minute Pick My Brain session today. It's a one-on-one, intimate discussion with me, your chief encourager, Ayana Angel, where you get access to a seasoned business professional, strategist, and idea expert who has helped countless people start businesses, podcasts, and successfully switch careers with a hybrid of consulting and coaching. Yes, I'm speaking in third person, but I am talking about me. You'll get your one-on-one time with me to pick my brain, ask me questions about any of the areas within my four P's, which would be personal development, podcasting, book publishing, public relations, but also just if you're familiar with the show and you have an idea of what my skill set is and what I bring to the table, you will have an opportunity to ask questions, to get feedback on your ideas, to get insight on your ideas, to learn from some of my mistakes as well as some of my wins, how I've strategized to get to where I am now. You can ask any question that you want and we will go through and make sure that we're helping you get from where you are to where you want to be in this 60-minute one-on-one Pick My Brain session. Go to switchpivotorquit.com now and book your session. On today's show, we're chatting with Dr. Jewel Tankard, a financial expert and founder of the Millionaires Club. When it comes to tracking dollars, few people can make sense of the restless financial market, let alone turn a profit. But nationally recognized financial expert and television personality, Dr. Jewel Tankard has mastered the art of generating revenue no matter the current economy or surrounding hardships. Dr. Jewel Tankard, thank you so much for joining us today. Excited to speak with you.
Yeah, girl, I'm excited to be on. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's jump right in, and we're going to start with a bit of a throwback. What was your dream job as a kid and why?
My dream job as a kid, to model.
Okay, that makes sense. How tall are you?
5'11", girl.
Okay, I did get the feeling that you were tall. Okay, that makes sense. Absolutely. So your business and brand has reached like massive financial success and optical success, if that's a thing. Can you share with us a bit about how your business originated and what your current role is?
I started the Millionaires Club a couple years ago, and I was motivated to start it because I just kind of noticed, you know, growing up, my parents were both entrepreneurs. My parents were actually the first African-Americans to have a business downtown Detroit. Mm. And one of the things that I noticed was that mom and dad made a lot of money. And so, lived a really good life, his and her Mercedes, his and her Rolls Royce. We had a Volvo. I had a Volvo at 16, housekeepers, cooks, and drivers. And that was like my life. And then at 19, we lost everything. And when I was asking mom kind of what happened, hey, do we have anything paid off? Or, you know, do we have any money saved? Do we have any money invested? Her answer to everything was, you know, well, your father thought this, your father said this. Mm-hmm. And I remember kind of thinking to myself, you know, what were you thinking?
Right.
And then I had another woman in my family who one of my uncles was an entrepreneur, and they lived very well. And after 25 years, they got a divorce, and she was pretty much left with nothing. And I was like, what the heck? You know, mm-hmm. But she didn't have her hands involved in the money. You know, she kind of was like, you know, he'll take care of me and I'll be fine and I don't have to worry about that. I'll just cook recipes and change diapers kind of deal. And she worked outside the home, but she only really became acquainted with being a producer. And I noticed the same kind of behavior in my dad. My dad was an amazing producer, but his strength wasn't necessarily management or investing, where my mother's naturally could have been. And so at that point, I kind of started saying to myself, you know, there's a difference between producing, managing, and investing. And I also noticed that a lot of investors did not, or a lot of producers were not investors. And I also realized that most entrepreneurs never become wealthy. And the reason they don't is because they take all their money and just spend it on their lifestyle and not do anything to secure the bag for tomorrow. So, you know, seeing those kind of examples in my family, and particularly among women, made me kind of say, you know, this is not going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not going to be me. I'm going to make sure that I, you know, handle my business and learn about investing so that I'll never be in a situation where my lifestyle is predicated on, you know, someone else's decision and I need to trust my own financial instinct. So I started the Millionaires Club, where we do 2 live webinars every single month. We do them live, and I talk about everything where investing is concerned. I talk about, you know, everything from, you know, how to invest with very little money, the mindset of an investor, how to invest in hard assets. That those are things that actually create additional income. And so we kind of talk about all those kind of things, because I did realize that, you know, that if you don't make sure that you secure the bag for tomorrow, more than likely, whatever your current business product or services, because everything has a cycle, is going to become obsolete. And so while you're making money along the way, you need to be investing. No matter how much or how little money you make, you need to put yourself in a position where, you know, you're able to take advantage of fluctuations in business if you have good hard assets, you know, working for you that create income whether you go to work or not.
Wow, you just touched on a lot, and there's a lot to really digest from what you said, because there's also a lot of truth, obviously, in everything. I know that in reading your story, a part of your start also was in network marketing. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So I want to find out from you, sort of like, how did you get where you are today, and who or maybe what helped you along your journey along the way?
I'm still heavily involved in network marketing and made millions of dollars from it. I think I was attracted to it because I love the concept of not having to work for all your money. I love the team concept. I loved, you know, being able to collaborate with other people that are smarter than me, that are doing more than me. You know, all those things are very attractive. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if I can connect with other people that are smarter than me, that have the same goals and the same values, and, you know, put yourself in a position to have a global business and not just be, you know, tied down to having a local location. There's nothing wrong with that, but it really does. It is very, very nice to, you know, get to a point where you're like, hey, I'm able to make money from home. Like right now, literally, it was so funny. My assistant was here. I trade foreign currency and cryptocurrency. And so the market is doing wonderful today. I was making money on the United States dollar, Japanese yen on a sale. You know, and that's exciting, you know
what I mean? Right. Make money. Yes.
So, you know, so it's rewarding, it's exciting, and it's like, okay, this is amazing. And so I'm not at work, I'm not punching anybody's clock, and you know, making money. And so
So for those who are unfamiliar with network marketing, can you just break down a little bit, like, or give us an overview of what does that really look like? What is it? Because I know I've been introduced to it in different ways, and I wasn't very favorable on it because something about it didn't draw me in. But like, I want to hear from you. What is network marketing? What's your sort of like take on it? Like, how would you explain it to someone?
So, network marketing basically is taking the ability to share a good product or service with other people. Mm-hmm. Around the entire world that they may need or use. So, you know, one of the first concepts of network marketing was Mary Kay. You know, that was big. You know, people, a lot of people did very well with Mary Kay, where it wouldn't necessarily be a viable business today because, you know, there's so many people that, you know, you can go to the mall.
Right.
Makeup is kind of a dime a dozen, you know.
Right.
So once you have somebody who, just like, oh, I love this. It's probably not going to be a good business to go into for today. But on the other hand, you know, a person could make a lot of money selling a makeup or selling, you know, a vitamin. I tell people when you look at network marketing, if you're going to do network marketing, look at a product that is not so common and that the supply is not so high. You know, try to find something that the supply is, a matter of fact, low. You can't get it anywhere. You can't get it everywhere. Those are the kinds of businesses that you need to look at, you know, being engaged and involved in now. Something that's innovative, something that's not a dime a dozen, something that the demand would be high if a person exists. Because new products, usually people don't know that those products exist. And then when they hear, oh, like there's a vitamin that's, you know, says that it stops aging. Okay, well, something like that, really go to Walmart and get it. So if a person was offering a product like that, that would be probably, it would probably do really well, you know. Or like what I do now, I'm teaching people how to trade foreign currency and cryptocurrency. It's not so easy to learn that on your own.
Right.
You know, you just can't necessarily go on YouTube, you know, and learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of things that you want. You want to look for innovation. You want to look for technology. You want to look for cutting edge. You want to look for something that's not already so prevalent, such a high supply to get involved in.
Right. That makes sense. What's been the most useful piece of advice that you've received in your career to date?
I think to understand that building a business, building a team is going to take time. Mm-hmm. That you can't just expect that, you know, just because you start something that it's going to automatically take off tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to be patient with that process. And to hang out with other people that have results in their business, because a lot of times people are all over the place. You know, they say, oh, seven streams of income, which I believe in that, but I'm very much, you need to find out what your core business is and build branches from that. Don't be like, you know, I'm over here talking about Forex and cryptocurrency on one day, and the next week I'm selling a vitamin, and then the next week I'm selling a garment, and then the next month I'm, you know, offering travel. It's a schizophrenia brand.
Right.
If you really want to build a brand, your brand needs to be consistent. That message needs to be consistent because people are watching you, and over time they're going to determine if they can believe what you say. Is it credible? Do I see the results in your life? And so sometimes people are like all over the place. And most women in particular, a lot of them are very emotional. So they end up making all these emotional decisions. And I'm like, no. You know, find out what you're really passionate about, find out what you believe in, and then get with a team that can drive you to the goal. Because sometimes you might have the right product, but if you're not surrounded with the right people that have a skill set and know how to, you know, build people, manage people, grow your team, you can have an amazing business. But if you don't have the right people around you, then you might end up still being stuck. You know, I think it's extremely important to make sure that you put yourself in a position to be around the right people that can teach you to be mentored. Because it's not just about reading a book. It's about mentorship, which is, I'll tell anybody, while you're in college or while you're in high school, the best thing you can do is hang out with other people that can teach you. Don't just hang out with people that, you know, a lot of people can talk about dreams or talk about their potential. But the question is, you know, are your mentors, have they realized their potential? Those are the people that you want to really want to listen to.
Right. The people that actually have results in maybe areas you are interested in. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep.
What would you say is your superpower?
Yep, absolutely. That I love people. I really love people. I really, really do. I really love to see people win. Mm-hmm. I really get excited about it. I really love seeing people win. I love seeing people thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And then another superpower is that I love innovation. So I love change. I love to tweak a little here and tweak a little there. And I think for some people, a weakness could be, a weakness could be that they don't like people maybe so much. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And they need people, and they have a very short circuit for, you know, sticking with, sticking with the process. Mm-hmm. You know, sticking with the process. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There are things that, like, we all would rather not have to do in business, right? There's just sometimes there's those things that you're like, I'd rather not have to do that. What things do you find yourself not gravitating to or not really particularly being favorable upon doing in business?
Probably the administrative part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I like try to hire my weakness, right?
Right. Yes.
You know.
Totally.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What are some traits that you think great leaders possess?
Let's see. That they persevere and that they're not afraid of change and that they keep themselves around people that are creative and innovative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's one leadership lesson that maybe you've learned along the way? Like, or did you even find yourself ever at a point in time where you're like, hey, I have to lead this team now? Like you said, a team is going to make you better and I have to lead this team. And I'm not exactly familiar with that. So maybe I need to take some classes. Maybe I need to read some books. Maybe I need to get a mentor. Did you ever find yourself in a position like that where you felt like, okay, I need to maybe step it up a little bit in terms of myself as a leader?
Oh yeah, heck yeah. I mean, there are definitely times where I'm like, okay, you're getting a little sloppy, you know, you need mm-hmm. to start making sure you wake up earlier or maybe go to bed a little bit later, or you know, maybe you need to make more in the day. So yeah, for sure. But I try to keep, like, you know, young, fresh, motivated minds around me, because I realize my success is not going to be just in what I can do. It's going to be in my ability to connect with other people and let them flow in their strengths.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So can you tell us about a time maybe where things didn't go the way that you wanted? Like maybe early in your career was a promotion or you wanted, or maybe a project that you worked on that didn't turn out exactly how you hoped. And the reason that I ask that question is just because I think that sometimes when people from the outside looking in, when they see successful people, we all know that there are struggles that go into it, but sometimes we don't really know what that looks like. So I'd love if you could give us an example of maybe a time where things didn't go the way you wanted or the way that you expected.
One of the most important things to do, one of the areas that I've kind of, had some failure, working with someone that, you know, was really skilled in a particular area, but I did not make sure that I crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's from an administrative standpoint, because I trusted them and I knew they had results. And so I do business off of my gut a lot, which is good, but there are times where you still need to back that thing up legally just to make sure that, you know, if something along the way doesn't go, maybe this person was getting results. Maybe they're skilled, but it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you can trust somebody in 2016 doesn't mean you can trust them in 2019. Mm. Financial pressure sometimes brings the worst out of people.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, you saw this person who was, you know, doing amazing, and all of a sudden they just kind of end up taking a turn for the worse. You know what I mean? Because financial pressure, and you didn't have your paperwork in place because you quote unquote trusted them, you know? Right. And so I think that understanding that regardless of how much you trust somebody, that everybody's work still needs to be inspected just because people don't do what you ask. So I think that's a big one.
How would you describe, when building a team, how you need to approach sort of like vetting people, because you touch on something with trust, which is a big thing. And a lot of people that are entrepreneurial, you know, they want to keep things close to their vest because they feel protective of their business and their ideas and things of that nature. But as you said, at a certain point, to grow and to scale your business, you do have to entrust things with other people. So how do you approach, or how do you suggest that people approach the topic of, you know, expanding, and that some of the things that maybe they should consider when thinking about expanding and creating a team around themselves?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a person just has to understand that if I'm going to grow, one person can only do so much. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? One person can only do so much. Like, you're one person, and there's just only so much that you're going to be able to do.
Right.
And it's really the difference Robert Kiyosaki talks about in the cash flow quadrant. He said a lot of self-employed people just stay self-employed because they kind of have a mentality of, you know, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. And they can do a lot themselves, but there's also a whole nother, you know, part of their business that they can't do themselves. And if they don't get to a point where they say, because sometimes you don't know what else you need. Mm. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes as a business owner, you're like, I didn't even know what I needed, you know, right. until I brought this person on and they said, oh my gosh, we need to clean up your IT. Or, oh my gosh, your marketing, you know, it's good, but there's a lot you're missing here. Mm. Or, you know, oh my gosh, you know, the way your brand looks is this, or, oh my gosh, your money, your accounting is a mess. Like, if you were to get an audit, stuff is everywhere. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you don't know your stuff. You don't know your stuff is dated until you have somebody come in. I always use this as an example. When we first moved into our last mansion, I remember we had a guest come to the house, and so anyway, she was getting ready to cook. And she went and pulled out some pots and pans. And she was like, girl, now there's no reason in this beautiful house you should have these pots and pans. This is unacceptable. Well, I had just gotten used to looking at them. You know right. what I mean? And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my bad. You know, so I took my little 20% coupon and went to Bed Bath & Beyond and got a new set of pots and pans.
Right.
But it really didn't stand out to me because I was used to seeing my pots and pans all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know that there are different times. At the beginning of this year, I wrote down on my vision that, okay, I need to bring somebody else on for IT. I need to bring somebody else on for marketing. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, two girls who head up marketing and innovation, and they're amazing, but they need help.
Right.
They need support. Mm-hmm. So I had to bring on other people that could not just take their projects and help them complete them, but help them think about, oh, why don't we add this? Or, oh, why don't we do that? So I'm always, you know, open to sitting down with other companies and firms to see, hey, here's my brand. What do you think you can do with it? You know, or it was me a couple years ago, my sister was telling me about this company called Bench. And she was saying Bench is a great accounting service. And I said, oh, okay, let me talk to them. And so they're like, this is what it's going to cost you. But this is every month you're going to have a profit and loss statement. So you can really measure to see, are you really growing? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as adults, just like most adults don't continue to grow. They age, but they don't grow.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
Or and same thing with an organization. It's how an organization stays mom and pop. Mm-hmm. You know, they started with them and they pretty much ended with them.
They just
didn't allow anybody else to come in. And you have to also respect that because everybody's not going to be a Fortune 500 company mm-hmm. or a Fortune 50 company. Everybody doesn't even desire that. But if you do desire it, just know at some point you're going to have to bring in other entities and other skill sets that can kind of speak to that.
Right. When you were younger, did you have aspirations of owning your own business or being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Was it because of your parents and like what you've seen?
Yeah. It was definitely because of my parents, seeing them and seeing their lifestyle. I loved our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was amazing. It was fun. You know, I think you really can really appreciate when you know, you invite friends over to the house and, you know, you got a pool or you got a housekeeper. I mean, there's just a certain amount of popularity that comes with having wealth at a young age, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I got spoiled to that and I was like, I like it.
I want to keep this.
And, yeah, I want to keep it. And so when we lost everything and I started to delve into understanding what happened, mm-hmm. I realized mom and dad, as brilliant as they were, and they did have other people, they did have employees, but I don't think they ever had anybody to really give them real consultation about what they should be doing next.
Right.
Most of what all of their ideas pretty much came from their head.
Mm.
You know, and they would bounce each ideas between, like yesterday, me and one of my people on my team, we made a decision. We wanted to bring somebody else on to let this guy share foreign currency trades and cryptocurrency trades. Well, some of the other team members said, wait a minute, let's vet him out first. Let's see how he does. Let him just shoot trades to us as the leaders, as 10 leaders, you know, mm-hmm. on the, I said, oh, that's a good idea. No problem. Let's create. So we created another section on our app to do that. So I wasn't opposed to that. They thought about some stuff I didn't think about.
Right.
So I try to stay very open that even if I have an idea, it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea, but always run that idea by somebody else because there's always something more you can be doing. There's always something smarter you can do. Like we've just kind of gone app crazy now. You know, we met with the Apple team and they're doing some branding for Millionaires Club. And they said, you know, the reality is if you don't have an app, you're kind of obsolete. Like people don't even use websites that way. So mm-hmm. we started talking about using apps for my next conference coming up, people being able to register on the app. So now we're taking that same technology and we say, hey, let's do it for the church. Because we have, you know, a team for our ushers, a team for our security, a team for our youth department. Well, why don't we put it all on one app and then break it up into subgroups within right. one main app?
Right.
Right. And so we said, let's bring that technology to the church, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's just always more. And I think, again, if you don't hang out with people that are forward thinkers, you can kind of, because it's natural for us to just kind of like, leave me alone. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of a natural, innate thing for us. Like, I'm okay. Right. Whether it's, are you working out? Oh, no, I'm okay. I'm not really big, right? I drink lots of water. I eat healthy. I juice. But that doesn't have anything to do with you working out. So right. it's just kind of the nature of man for us to fight to stay the same. Leave me alone. Leave me alone with my workout. Leave me alone with my eating. Leave me alone with how I operate on a day-to-day basis. I'm doing okay. Leave me alone. Nothing's broke, you know, so don't come in here trying to make changes because I'm okay.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the mindset of most entrepreneurs. And so if you don't kind of commit to staying open mm-hmm. for change and the way you operate, you just kind of keep repeating the same thing. And when people come in and say, you should do this, you should do that, most people are kind of like, oh, it's okay, or I'll get to it later.
Right.
And so later ends up, you know, turning into 6 months, which turns into 1 year, which turns into 2 years. And on the outside, you still look successful mm-hmm. because people see that way. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between success and then uber success.
Right.
And I think that's the difference that kind of sometimes stops people from getting to that other level.
So you touched on the conference. Tell us a bit more about the conference and what the goal is with the conference. What do you want people to walk away from when they attend your conference?
So the goal of the conference is to bring together other powerful, like-minded people that are ready to change. So the goal of the conference is for an entrepreneur to not just be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. but for them to walk away and hopefully become an investor, you know, and get them investing at their level. Sometimes mm-hmm. people think they got to have, you know, oh, didn't I need thousands of dollars? I'm like, no, I got things you can start with $50, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then some things need to be set on auto ship, like saving gold or silver. I mean, even when I talk to gold and silver investors, they might buy a bunch of silver or gold at one time, but they don't continue in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just like you need to pay bills every month, you should pay yourself every month with accumulating gold and silver, with creating cash flow, learn how to trade foreign currency and cryptocurrency. You know, this morning I've had a four-figure morning, you know, it's like 4 o'clock. Just trading on my phone. Like, what?
What? So you teach other people how to trade cryptocurrency as well, the same way that
yes.
you
do. Yes.
And how long have you been operating in that space?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Okay. So a bit before
the system is not hard. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, the craze started because they put a network marketing model on it too.
Oh.
So people started really spreading the word. So like today I screenshotted a couple people and I said, hey, last week or just this week in one account, I made over $10,000 and then I just withdrew $10,000 yesterday. Mm. And I took that money to buy a property wholesale for $12,000 in Detroit. Mm. So I teach people how to create cash flow and then turn around and take that money, right, that mm-hmm. you've made and buy a hard asset that will create continual cash flow. Because mm-hmm. you can go buy a pair of red bottoms or you can buy a Gucci bag, but that's not going to create cash flow for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's going to create cash flow is, and so I tell people the first thing that you should do is learn how to trade foreign currency and cryptocurrency. Because before you can buy a piece of property or before you can invest in the oil well, you need cash flow. Most marital issues, cash flow. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a mental health professor who's, I'm getting ready to sign up a woman out of Detroit, and she works in the Detroit public schools in the mental health. And she said, you would be surprised at the amount of children that I deal with. And the bottom line, their issue, the bipolar you call it, or the manic depression, mm-hmm. it goes back to lack of cash. Mm. Because if their parents are broke, that means that the groceries are going to be scarce. Right. That means that they're going to be being picked on because they don't have the latest Yeezys, or mm-hmm. you know, maybe their clothes are too tight. Like, there's so many things that people think mental health. I'm like, mental health still comes down to poverty. Mm-hmm. You get rid of the poverty, mm-hmm. you get rid of the issues.
A lot of people's problems. Yeah, you can eradicate them. Yeah, that's true. So do you find that people have you ever encountered, or do in your sort of like journey, do you encounter people having a hesitant mindset about some of the things that you're trying to get them to sort of like get on board with, or that you're exposing them to? Because
it's new.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I could see how, because you have a wealth of knowledge, you know, this stuff just rolls off your tongue. But for the average person, this is probably not what they're familiar with. So I could see it being intimidating, scary, or there being hesitation. Like, what's the first step, you know?
Yeah.
So you do encounter that a lot.
Yeah. Well, all the time. But I would tell people the way to become wealthy is you have to make a decision that you want to be wealthy, and then you have to start.
Mm.
You have mm-hmm. to start. And the mm-hmm. best way to become wealthy is mentorship, mm-hmm. you know, and having somebody that loves you enough to hold your hand.
Right.
So anybody that works closely with me will tell you I'm very hands-on. I'm very approachable. Mm-hmm. Some people reach out to me every day. I have a list of hundreds of people that I have had to hire interns for just to help me call them back. Mm-hmm. Because I think the first point of contact of me, that they need to be able to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They need to be able to talk to that girl. I saw that girl. You know how that is, you know?
Yeah.
And then I get them on the phone and they're like, oh, you call me back yourself. Yeah, girl, I called you back yourself because this is about your money. Wow. The fact that you reached out to me, that says you trust me, and I don't take that for granted. There's a mm-hmm. responsibility that comes with having a mandate to help our people become wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to just for me to sit, you know, in the mansion and say, look at what I've done, but no, let me get down here with you and show you that, you know what, this much for you as it is for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you and your family participate in a reality show, Thicker Than Water. What has that experience been like?
Yes.
How has that maybe impacted your business? or exposure even maybe? Like, how have you
Sort
of seen that?
The exposure was huge.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's been huge, you know, because it just takes your message. Mm. You know, if you work reality TV, right, it can be amazing.
Right.
We actually got closer as a family. Mm. But I think it's because we intended that this was not going to break us up. Right. So we would be triple times on family meetings, like, you all
right? Right.
You know, because now all of a sudden you got to deal with stuff. Mm-hmm. That you would have normally in a normal world, like, I ain't even about to deal with that right there.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they knew, okay, that they were like, you're not going to be on here fighting and cussing, so you're going to have to deal with real sensitive matters to hurt people's feelings, or family is thinking this one is a trip right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it gave families hope to know that some of the issues that they have, every family got those issues.
Exactly.
And just because you have those issues doesn't mean that you can't be close.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just work through them. But right. It doesn't mean you have to cut your family off. So I think we're in a society now, it's like, you don't like it, we'll just cut it off. I don't put with them. I don't, you know, so you got this whole generation of people constantly saying they don't fool with this person, they don't fool with that person. And it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can still have healthy relationships with these people. And so I think it's people hope to know that I don't have to be so abrupt.
Right.
And just cut everybody off.
Right. There's other ways, and there's ways to like work through and talk through things and still maintain a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what?
Absolutely.
What does success mean or look like for you?
The ability to teach people that they can live their dreams. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, success is cool for yourself, but when you got other people winning, mm-hmm. like on our team, like this morning, it was a great morning for everybody trading. I mean, every day is like a great day because we can make money. If the currency pair is going up, we make money. On a buy. If it's going down, we make money on a sale. So seeing everyday average people who never knew this thing existed, all of a sudden be put in a situation where they're learning how to trade, and we do it as a group. So the community is amazing that we have. It's really an amazing community. And to be able to see people chime in on the chat, you know, from all over, hey, did you bag EU, which is, you know, Euro USD, you kind of learn the language.
Right.
Yeah, I just bag NZD, JPY, which is New Zealand dollar, Japanese yen, because we trade together. And we tell you exactly what to trade. Mm. We tell you exactly what to trade and when. So we have what we call a learn and earn system. Mm-hmm. So while you're still figuring out what's the heck going on, you can start making money right away.
So it makes you feel better about everything. You're probably more enthusiastic about learning.
Girl, oh my gosh. It makes learning amazing. Are you kidding?
Yeah. So if people are interested in finding out more about this cryptocurrency and being mentored and a part of what you have going on, how would they go about doing that?
They can just get on jeweltankard.com and send over their information and we'll reach out to them. Awesome. And then the Millionaires Club is, you know, that's $29 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything financial, investing. But we have different arms. We have a Forex arm. We have an oil well arm. We have a real estate arm. So we have like different arms.
Okay.
But I tell people, you know, if they're really serious about like developing wealth for real, just join the club for $29 a month. Because financial education is continual. It's not like, oh, I went to a webinar or I went to a seminar 2 years ago and they set me up. Like, that's antiquated.
Yeah.
They probably got you set up on some old stuff.
Right. Things are
only
changed.
Making. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So.
So you would definitely say that it's an ongoing thing. And
oh, for sure.
They can sign up at any point in time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's ongoing, especially if they're serious.
Okay. And they can also find that link through jeweltankard.com?
Uh-huh. Yep. It's all on there. And everything social media is Jewel Tankard too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jewel, for spending time with us and sharing all of your insight and information with us today. I'm sure that is going to inspire a lot of people to get their money up.
Yes, girl. It was so fun. I really appreciate you having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode or found value in this episode or any previous episode for that matter, I have a challenge for you.
It's about taking action, and we all know how I feel about action and taking action. We can't just be observers all the time. We have to be the action takers and the makers as well. So my challenge to you is to do one of two things. The first is to share this podcast with three friends within an hour. Quick, move within an hour. If you know of three people that can benefit from hearing something you've heard on this podcast, then share. It's simple. And the other option is to pop over to iTunes and leave your girl a review. Just a quick line or two with your true feelings. So many of you email or message me and DM me, but we need the world to know if about how you feel about this show if we want this conversation to continue and grow and incorporate some of your faves. So I appreciate you and thank you in advance for taking action. And until next time, keep killing it.